Good morning. Today we continue our series of meditations based on John's Gospel. This morning we look at the topic Christ, the Satisfier of the Soul. The scripture reading is taken from John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38. This is how it reads, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." The Gospel of John weaves Jesus' teachings around Jewish feasts, like the Feast of Tabernacles mentioned here in John 7. The Feast of Tabernacles marked the end of the harvest, and it also recalled Israel's 40-year wilderness journey. It celebrated God's provision of water from a rock and manna from heaven to feed the children of Israel journeying through the wilderness. Spanning 8 days, it featured a 7-day ritual of priests drawing water from the pool of Siloam, pouring it thereafter at the temple altar to symbolize God's blessing of rain. The 8th day, which was like a high Sabbath, had no water rite, just reflection and the singing of Psalms 113 to 118. On this 8th day, Jesus stands and cries out, offering living water to quench our soul's thirst. Today we'll explore John 7, 37 to 38 in two parts, a great invitation and a great promise. So let's jump in, a great invitation. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Picture the scene. It is the 8th day of the Feast of Tabernacle, a day of rest and celebration. The water procession have stopped, and Jesus rises, boldly, publicly declaring, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Earlier in John 7, we saw the religious leaders plotting his death, jealous of his growing popularity. We saw his miracles, feeding the 5,000, healing the sick, that won him favor. But his unfiltered truth riled the Pharisees. Yet threats did not silence Jesus. Jesus knows his death is set for the time of the Father's choosing, not the time of his opponent's choosing. So here in the temple, the stronghold of the Pharisees, Jesus stands and shouts. Why stand? Teachers sat to teach, but he rises to grab attention, his voice cutting through the crowd. The 8th day signifies a new beginning beyond the perfection of 7. It is a call to renewal. As he did then, Jesus today invites all to ditch the old life of sin and rebellion for a fresh start with him. The Apostle Paul echoes this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This invitation is urgent. If anyone thirsts, Jesus knows we are parched. Thirst is our sharpest need, more pressing than hunger. You can fast from food for weeks, but without water, within a few days, one will experience dizziness and collapse. Thirst gnaws at us. It's undeniable. Your soul feels it too, a restless ache when God's absent. We are made to drink of him, to be refreshed and nourished by his presence. I believe there are some listening to me that feel that spiritual thirst. You know, something's off. Life's dry, without purpose, without peace. Jesus says, "Come to me and drink." He did not say pursue money. He did not say pursue pleasure or pursue power. Those things will leave you spiritually empty. Your soul craves forgiveness of sins, assurance of heaven, a relationship with God. Jesus, the great physician, prescribes himself. He's the fountain for parched souls, offering eternal satisfaction. In John 4, verse 14, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, "Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." There are no spiritual water lock-offs with Jesus. His supply never runs dry, yet many chase broken cisterns. In Jeremiah 2, verse 13, God speaks through the prophet and warns, "They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Rituals, good deeds, and false gods like Buddha and Allah cannot satisfy the soul's thirsting. Only Jesus, through his cross, quenches our thirst for salvation, which is our soul's greatest need. This call isn't just for the non-Christian. Christians, we need to keep drinking from him. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And the language used in Matthew 5 verse 6 makes it clear that with little thirsting, there will be little filling. And with great thirsting, there will be great filling. Jesus still pleads, "Come, drink, and find life." But here's a second aspect of our meditation today. There is in the passage also a great promise. John 7:38 says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Verse 38 builds on the invitation Jesus issued, and to come and drink is to believe. Belief here isn't mere head knowledge. It's surrender, yielding to Jesus as Savior and Lord. When you do, he promises, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 explains, this is the Holy Spirit, given after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and glorification. John 19 verse 34 notes that after Jesus' side was pierced, at once there came out blood and water. Blood is the price of Christ's sacrifice for sin, while water symbolizes the Spirit flowing from his sacrifice. Theologian Richard D. Phillips wrote, "The cross was not the end of Jesus' work. Likewise, the forgiveness of our sins and our justification before God is not the end of our salvation. In an important sense, our forgiveness is a means to a greater end. Just as the cross was followed by Jesus' resurrection, Jesus saves us from our sins and to eternal life with God. The goal of our salvation is that God should come to live in us by his Spirit as we live to his glory forever." Richard Phillips also wrote that the Holy Spirit is not a sip of medicine that we drink just once, but a river of living water that Christ plants within us, a bestower of blessings that have no end. Here are four blessings that the Holy Spirit offers to our souls. Number one, Jesus, through his Spirit, offers us peace for our souls. It's a peace that transcends all understanding. Number two, Jesus, through his Spirit, offers us purity of soul. One of the consequences of the fall is that human beings are beset with impure thoughts, unclean lips, and a heart defiled with corruption. But Jesus causes the river of his Holy Spirit to flow within us to cleanse our minds and hearts and to create a clean heart, to create in us an appetite for holiness. Number three, Jesus through his Spirit offers us prosperity of soul. By prosperity of soul, I mean the river of the Spirit is there to secure our spiritual growth and our spiritual fruitfulness. Number four, Jesus through his Spirit offers power to the soul to endure trials. Notice verse 30, it says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. That means we are not the source of the living water. Jesus is. Jesus channels his blessings to others. We are not the source. Jesus is. Jesus channels his blessings to others. Israel's Sea of Galilee thrives, giving water to the Jordan, while the Dead Sea receives only, and that stagnates the water. Christians mustn't hoard the spiritual gifts that God has given to Christians, but should share them. Christians must allow the Spirit's gifts to overflow to a thirsting world. Christians should pray, "Lord, make me a channel of your blessing." Christians must drink deeply of Christ and overflow with life to refresh those in need. Jesus still cries out today, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." The world's dead waters of ungodly pleasure will not satisfy our souls. Here's my best advice to my Christian friends. There's always more of God that is available to us to grow and build our souls. Let us thirst like the psalmist for more of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 42, 1 and 2, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God." To my non-Christian friends, I say, come as you are to Jesus today. He wants to give you forgiveness of sins and a life filled with spiritual meaning and purpose. To my non-Christian friends, I say, today is a good day to let Jesus satisfy the thirsting of your soul. He's available to do that, and he's willing to do that. Until next week, may Christ bless you greatly.